You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Move the Sticks. I am Rhett Lewis here with Bucky Brooks today, post-Christmas edition here, as we've had a fantastic holiday weekend full of football, one that DJ apparently decided wasn't worth his presence this Monday morning. So that's fine. Bucky and I ready to rock and roll here for you. And man, rocking the NFL world today, though, Bucky, before we get into the big three, and we will, with some massive games from this week 16 in the league, some massive news out of Denver. The Broncos, after 16 weeks of this season, have fired Nathaniel Hackett. It was something that has been talked about for weeks now. Gosh, even going back to week one, following all the game management situations and then the quarterback play deteriorating. And listening to Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport on NFL Network today, Bucky, talking about Hackett, you know, and watching the team unravel on the sidelines was a huge piece of this as well, kind of losing control of things. As you get a look at it, what were your first thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like it's unfortunate. I feel like it was unfortunate for Nathaniel Hackett because he was put in position to fail from day one. All of the scrutiny around his coaching, the decisions that were made as it related to game management, a lot of those opinions were formed based on the fact that everyone expected Russell Wilson to be a top five player. And what happened, Russell Wilson hasn't played to expectation. And so rather than point to Russell initially, they pointed to the coaching. And then once that drumbeat started growing, it was going to be impossible for Nathaniel Hackett to overcome it unless the team completely turned around and unless the quarterback played better. And then it comes down to simple economics. Russell Wilson has inked a deal that is supposed to pay him $245 million on an extension. Rather than get rid of the quarterback, which is cost prohibitive, it's easier to get rid of the coach. And so even though I was sitting here and saying Nathaniel Hackett made a bunch of mistakes and all that as a first-time coach, but really the undermining of his position came because of the poor performance of the quarterback. And so until the Broncos get the quarterback right, until they're able to fix Russell Wilson, if he's fixable, it'll always be a revolving door at the head coaching position. It's just unfortunate that Nathaniel Hackett got caught in the tidal wave this time.
Well, I guess the question is because, you know, obviously something we talk about on this podcast quite a bit here on Move the Sticks is, you know, the relationship between quarterback and play caller and the relationship between quarterback and playmakers. There's no shortage of playmakers on that team. I mean, clearly, you got some of the best wide receivers, or at least most talented wide receivers. Maybe they all haven't played up to the caliber of player that we kind of expected them to be. But, you know, they've been hurt by injuries. I know at the running back spot. Do you feel like Hackett has put Wilson in the best possible position to succeed, Bucky?
Well, I feel like it was a failed marriage from the jump, a doomed marriage. Yeah. And this is why. Because Russell Wilson, at this stage of his career, he needs to be a guy that throws with timing and rhythm. You know, a lot has been made about Russell Wilson being Drew Brees. But when you really look at Russell Wilson play and the way that he's played throughout his career, he's never been a guy that has necessarily played on time. His best plays have been on improvisation, where he runs around, he scrambles, someone breaks loose, he throws it over top of the defense. But as he gets older and his athleticism wanes, you now need him to be a more disciplined and detailed performer from the pocket. That's not him. And so what you have is a head coach who's trying to put a system around a diminishing player, but a player who still believes he's that player that is in his prime. And it's just hard to do. And I think Nathaniel Hackett did his best, but without a dominant running game and without a quarterback who's willing to really look in the mirror and say, hey, I can't move around like I used to. I need to make these tremendous jumps and being able to play and perform from the pocket. It was destined to fail. And so the key will be, who's the next coach? And how does the next coach view Russell Wilson? And what is he going to sell ownership on? How am I going to get Russell Wilson on track? Because let's be honest, this goes back beyond Nathaniel Hackett. Let's look at what happened to Shane Waldron. Then he gets traded from Seattle to Denver. Let's think about Brian Schottenheimer. Who gets out of there? Let's think about Daryl Bevel. Like, there's a list, there's a graveyard of offensive coordinators who have touched Russell Wilson. At some point, we got to look at the player and say, what flaws in him are preventing these offenses from, I guess, reaching their potential? All of that goes into play. And I think the next coach, the next offensive coordinator, they have to consider all those things when they take this job and how they build the offense around Russell Wilson where he is now.
Yeah, and I think we'll look at candidates to replace Nathaniel Hackett in the long term here on tomorrow's episode of Move the Sticks, certainly. But you got to wonder how they might prioritize experience after watching a first time head coach flame out before his first season came to an end there in Denver. And obviously with the new ownership group, I think there was always going to be that air of how much time are they willing to take and give the current power structure to, you know, make some, show some progress, to earn some patience. And I think it was clear that they're ready to move on in a new direction. And because obviously all this became official, you know, after the fact, after the new ownership group was officially approved and officially came into power there in Denver. And so George Payton, though, the general manager, did get a vote of confidence from Greg Penner, the owner and CEO, the new ownership group there in Denver, that they have confidence in George Payton to help turn this thing around in the future here for Denver. But Penner also mentioned that it will be he leading the charge to find the next head coach with input from George Payton. So ownership taking charge on the next head coaching hire there in Denver, something certainly to follow. And so there's a lot to chew on there with Nathaniel Hackett out as the Denver Broncos had an embarrassing 51-14 loss to the LA Rams, who, by the way, are about as injured as any team in football right now. 51-14, Rams beat the Broncos, and then you get the firing today made official by the Denver Broncos. So we'll continue to follow that storyline as we go forward here, Move the Sticks, much more on who might replace Nathaniel Hackett and what ultimately led to his firing coming up on tomorrow's edition of Move the Sticks. For now, though, we get into the games from this week 16 in the NFL. Obviously, still one left to go tonight, but let's start with the big three. And obviously, few games bigger than the Eagles-Cowboys matchup on Saturday afternoon, Christmas Eve, down in Arlington, Texas. The Eagles, Bucky, without Jalen Hurts, but still find a way to put up some 34 points. However, not enough as the Cowboys get the 40-34 win. Big one for Dallas. Eagles cannot clinch the number one overall seed just yet. So let's get your first thoughts on that matchup there with Dallas and Philly.
Well, there are a couple of things. Obviously, we have to talk about Dak because Dak was critical to the Cowboys being successful. And, you know, Dak Prescott has been really plagued and victimized by a ton of turnovers. And so, Red, when you look at this Cowboys team, you think about how they need to perform down the stretch. Number four is going to have to play a big role.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's some of the things that I looked at when I went back and watched this game were just some of the big throws that the Cowboys asked Dak to make that they needed him to make and ultimately that he did make. Go back to like three specific third downs in this game, a couple of them in the second quarter, because this is a team that came back from what, two separate 10-point deficits to beat the Eagles here. So they're down in the second quarter, third and six, down in Philly territory. And Dak lays a perfectly placed ball to CeeDee Lamb on a corner route, which looked like they were facing a kind of a split coverage. And on the cover two side, easily recognizes that CeeDee is going to be open on that corner route. And man, puts it in a perfect spot for him. And that is a touchdown, gets him back closer to evening things up against the Eagles in the first half. Then you go later in the second quarter, next possession, in fact. I mean, he perfectly layers a seam ball from the slot with CeeDee. I mean, it was almost like, you know, you call that route a lot of times a bender. And it was almost like Dak bent that ball right into CeeDee Lamb, exactly where he needed it to go, over the linebacker, keeps him away from a closing safety. It was a thing of beauty, led to the game tying field goal there in the first half. Then in the fourth quarter, right, when things are kind of looking bleak here a little bit, they're down, they got a third and 30, they put T.Y. Hilton into the game. It's his only target of the game, and Dak Prescott finds him and unleashes a 58-yard pass in the air. I think it goes down as a 52-yard catch, but it went from the minus 21 to the plus 21 and traveled 58 in the air, goes for a first down right in the breadbasket to T.Y. Hilton, his only catch of the game. It was a huge one, and then they end up helping kind of get this game back in Dallas's favor there. So, look, I think that – watching Dak make some of those big time throws again, if they can minimize those turnovers. And I think that first one, like, that's a tough play, right? He's just trying to get it out on a quick little throw. And Josh Sweat makes a phenomenal play. But I think Dak is a reason why this team can make a run in the playoffs. Do you think, though, as you look at the side of things from Philly, how much of a difference would Jalen Hurts have made in this game for the Eagles, Buck?
Well, I mean, I think it makes a huge difference because it changes the way their running game attacks them. With Gardner Minshew can run around and make plays on the perimeter throwing it, but he's not the runner that Jalen Hurts is. And so when you have to account for the quarterback as a runner, it changes. It negates the plus one advantages that you can have when it comes to defending the run game. It makes you defend an MVP caliber playmaker as well. And so for the Dallas Cowboys, their biggest weakness has been their run defense and their ability to protect Dak Prescott in the pocket. And so without Jalen Hurts, you really couldn't probe and prod that run game to the fullest extent. I think if there's another game in the postseason, yeah, it might be a different story because Jalen Hurts has to be accounted for at all times. And I don't know if the Cowboys have the wherewithal to slow him down and to slow down a very dynamic and diverse running game.
Yeah, and it felt like without Hurts that Dallas's run game on the run defense on that side of the ball actually felt a little bit better than it had been in the last couple of weeks. But obviously Hurts would have made a difference in that regard, as you were just outlining there. That said, do you see the Cowboys as a real viable Super Bowl contender once they get it into postseason play here?
So here's what we have. We got maybe a couple of weeks for the Cowboys to fix some areas. We talked about the run defense. They got to fix that.
Yeah.
Because in the postseason, particularly when the weather changes, people are going to run the football. And you look at the teams that are making the tournament, all of them have the ability to hit you in the mouth with a physical running game. So the Cowboys have to fix that. The other thing that showed up in this game, I don't know about the Smith and Smith combination on the edges. Can Tyler Smith and Tyron Smith hold up against premier pass rushers? Because even though Dak Prescott had a 300-yard game, he got knocked around by that Philadelphia pass rush. And as we think about what works in the postseason, great quarterback play and a dominant pass rush. The Eagles have that, and some of these other teams, including the San Francisco 49ers, they had that. The Cowboys have to fix that to have a chance of going far in the tournament.
Yeah, Dak was sacked six times in this game by that talented Eagles defensive front. And as you mentioned, on one of those sacks, you had both Tyron and Tyler Smith get beat on that play. So you get both your tackles get beat, and Dak is crunched there by the Eagles defensive line a couple of different times. Thought there was a couple where he might have been able to get rid of the ball before ultimately going down for the sack as well. So just something to think about. We'll move forward here in the Big Three, and let's move to Minneapolis, where the Minnesota Vikings got a career-long 61-yard field goal as time expired from Greg Joseph for another dramatic close win for the Minnesota Vikings as they take care of business against the New York Giants. 27-24 is the final. Vikings move to 12-3. Giants fall to 8-6-1. If they would have won, they would have punched their ticket to the postseason based on how everything else shook out around them. So let's start with that matchup. What caught your eye there, Buck?
Well, catching my eye, man, I'm still trying to figure out the Minnesota Vikings. I have a tremendous amount of respect for them winning 12 games. But 11 of those games have been one score wins. And a lot of them have been these improbable comebacks against teams that, let's be honest, are lesser teams based on what they look like on paper. And so I worry about their ability to play up or down to the level of competition. And I just don't know how good this team is, because I want to rubber stamp them and say, hey, this is one of the heavyweights in the league. But I don't know if I have a signature win or signature performance that validates that. So I'm worried about this team getting a top seed, but maybe being one and done. These next 2 weeks, they have to figure it out, because I would like to see the Minnesota Vikings. I want to see them stomp somebody. I want to see them blow a team out and play A-level football on both sides of the ball, because until I see that, I go into the postseason with a lot of questions and concerns about Kevin O'Connell's squad.
I think I'll echo those questions and concerns, but the one thing that calms my nerves a bit is they got the best receiver in football right now. And he is the best receiver in football when they need him to be at his best, which is oftentimes in the fourth quarter or in the second half as they're making a comeback or trying to get a win late game as they have so often this season. So I went back and watched all of Jefferson's targets in the fourth quarter. Start with a 3rd and 10. He got this dig in the red zone. I mean, like, it's essentially versus double coverage, right? But he's got a man over top and a man underneath. He sticks it at the top beautifully. But as you know, Buck, as a coach, like, the one thing you talk about with young receivers is it's not just about how fast you get to the break point. It's how fast you get out of the break point, right? Exploding to create separation. Well, he has a nice stick at the top of this dig and then absolutely creates like 2 yards of separation because of his acceleration out of the break point. Thought it was phenomenal. It's like teaching tape on route running in the middle. And then he gains ground over the middle, ends up getting into the end zone for a touchdown to give the Vikes a little bit of breathing room. And then let's go 3rd and 9 later in the fourth quarter. He's got an out route from the slot and creates space for himself by challenging the inside technique of the defensive back, then gets back vertical, right? Which with so many, you know, like, young receivers don't quite realize, they end up getting squeezed out, right? And it messes up the timing with the quarterback. He gets back vertical, breaks out. And I'm telling you, it's like, it's just butter. And there's a reason why he and Kirk Cousins have such a great chemistry, because Kirk can always rely on him to be in the right spot at the right time on some of those timing throws, especially late there on like 3rd down plays where, you know, you got to have it beyond the sticks to keep everything rolling. Then, like, look, he's a route technician, as we're talking about here, but it also helps when you can just throw him the ball immediately and let him just go break tackles, make guys miss, and be an absolute force of nature with the ball in his hands, which he does later in the fourth on that last drive as they're trying to get in field goal position to try and get the win. He has what I think it's close to 20 yards on a 3rd down play on a quick screen, sets up his blockers, follows them, and then allows Greg Joseph to go in there and kick that 61 yard game winner. So I just feel like Justin Jefferson is always going to give the Vikings a chance. But I do understand your point about they got to cool it a little bit with the nerve-wracking wins here.
Some of that. But look, man, let's be honest about Justin Jefferson. Red, I don't know how you felt about him coming out, but I'm going to say I missed the mark. Sure. And I got a phone call for missing the mark on TV. Jerry Sullivan, who helped out at LSU when he and Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase was there, told me that Justin Jefferson was a dog and that I would be wrong for keeping him at number 5 on my rankings. And I can't even remember what the receivers were that came out that year. But he said, this dude, we needed to play at LSU. He is the one that the ball is going to go to. He can play inside and outside. And everything that he talked about, everything that Coach Sullivan talked about with Jefferson, all the things that you described, the timing, yeah, the impeccable ability to set defenders up, how he creates separation in a variety of ways, how he's sure-handed and dependable and tough, the run after catch skills, all of those things. And so now we're so used to having these certain names at the top of the list where we talk about the best wide receivers in the game. But I'm going to say now, the undisputed number one receiver in the game today is Justin Jefferson. And he proves it each and every week. Rhett, he has 24 100-yard games and 48 outings. That is remarkable, consistent production from a young player. Give him the crown right now. He is wide receiver one.
I couldn't agree more. Certainly the case this year. And as you watch in a game in which he passes Randy Moss to set the single season Vikings receiving yardage record. Pretty dang impressive for Justin Jefferson. And look, I think I understand why we kind of, you know, we didn't give Jefferson as many flowers as we should have coming out, because Ja'Marr Chase is sitting over here, you know, with 65 of his 80 catches going for touchdowns or first downs on that national championship run. But yeah, I think we all to a certain degree missed on Justin Jefferson. All right, let's move it on. Let's get to the Bengals and Patriots rather here from Foxborough. And this is a game it looked like the Bengals were going to absolutely run away with, scoring on each of their first three possessions. Joe Burrow was like bang, bang, bang all over the place. The cold weather was no problem for him. But then the Patriots defense here, Bucky, really stepped up. So they allowed 22 points in the first half, completely shut the Bengals down in the second half, though. Got a couple of turnovers as well. And I'm just, you know, like they gave the Patriots defense is the reason why they were even in this thing to begin with in the second half. Their offense was putrid. Six punts to open this game. If you take out a possession that ended the first half. I mean, it was incredible how inept this Patriots offense was. They had 10 first quarter yards on six plays, 60 yards in the second quarter, eight in the third quarter, 78 total yards of offense through 45 minutes. They punted on their first six. It's unbelievable how the Patriots defense was able to keep this team in the game late. And I think there's a lot of questions to be asked about where this offense is going with Mac Jones, with Matt Patricia, with Bill Belichick overseeing it all. But the one thing that this Patriots defense can count on right now is the way their defense is playing.
Yeah, the defense gives them a chance. And you know what? The way things broke, they still have an opportunity to get into the postseason. And I don't care what anyone says. If the Patriots are if they're on the mark and you have to play them in the postseason, you still get a little nervous because you think about Bill Belichick dialing up one of those defensive masterpieces. And they have the ability to do it. And one of the reasons they have the ability to do it on defense is because my new favorite player, my favorite young player in the league, might be Marcus Jones for the New England Patriots. Marcus Jones is everything that is right about the Patriots, meaning the versatility, the production, the performance, and the pressure. He does all of these things. So a couple of weeks ago, we saw him with, I think it was the walk-off punt return touchdown against the Jets, where he takes it to the crib and House calls it, just like he did at the University of Houston. Now we're seeing him have a pick six against Joe Burrow. We're seeing him get a fumble recovery on a play that Matthew Judon makes. But they put him on offense, Rhett. And if you know the Patriots love finding these Swiss Army knives. And I'm like, okay, I see you, Bill Belichick. I saw what you did with Troy Brown. I seen how you utilized Julian Edelman. Marcus Jones is the next utility man that the Patriots will make a star. He's a terrific young player who's really stepped onto the stage and been remarkable from the jump. He is the guy to keep an eye on, because if they do sneak their way into the tournament, Marcus Jones is going to make a play that could be a game decider.
I mean, it's all about keeping up with the Joneses over there in the Patriots secondary. They got three of them, three Joneses, including Marcus and then his fellow rookie Jack Jones. But Marcus, the third round pick out of Houston, more than proving his value and his worth to this Patriots offense, defense, and special teams early on in his career. Absolutely right there. But the Bengals still get the win. And Bucky, are you still riding them as the team that's ultimately going to be the one that's left standing here in the AFC?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Because you know what, Red, that first half was a terrific first half from in terms of watching what the Bengals could do. Joe Burrow was in his bag. The weapons that they have, they stress your defense in so many ways. On the passing game, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase, they can really create these mismatches, and Joe Burrow throws to anyone who is open. And then in the running game, Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, being able to run the football when it's cold, it gives them an opportunity. So from an offensive standpoint, they're good to go. And then Lou Anarumo and the adjustments that he typically makes in the second half, he finds a way to make life difficult on the quarterback and the play caller. Yeah, give me the Bengals, because I've seen the up and down performance of the Buffalo Bills. Joe Burrow owns Patrick Mahomes with a 3-0 record. So yeah, I'm on record saying the Bengals are the best team in the AFC. I can't wait to see it play out.
11-4 Cincinnati Bengals, currently the number 3 seed and postseason bound once again. There with Zach Taylor leading the way, the three seed there. But looking up at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills, waiting for one of those teams to stumble down the stretch here so they can advance their seeding. All right, much more to come, including more postseason, more games with postseason implications, like the Packers visiting the Dolphins, the Niners and the Commanders getting together. What went into those results? We get into it right after this here on Move the Stick.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
The holidays have arrived early this year. Why wait until fall when you can get Black Friday prices now during Blinds.com's annual Spring Black Friday sale? Blinds.com's the better way to get custom window treatments totally online. No waiting around all day for salespeople to show up or dealing with inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters, motorized options. We have your patio covered for spring too. And Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home. We'll even send free samples. You can even get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Plus, free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now for the best deals of the season. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
NFL Plus is here, which means no matter where you are, this is how you football. You can stream live, local, and primetime games on your phone or tablet, 45-minute game replays with NFL Plus Premium, and more. This is the NFL for every fan. This is football freedom. This is your game on the go. Go to plus.nfl.com and sign up now. Well, the Packers are keeping their postseason hopes alive after Aaron Rodgers said, we're not dead yet. And they go down to South Florida and they get a win over the Miami Dolphins 26-20 on Christmas Day. Look, Bucky, I'm going to get into the fact that you can't win when your quarterback turns it over on each and every one of your possessions in the fourth quarter. But let's start with the Green Bay Packers, who are winners in this game and were winners in the draft when it comes to the wide receiver spot.
Absolutely. Rhett, the Packers wide receivers, their young wideouts are developing right on time. You notice we haven't heard as much noise about the Packers lacking weapons and those things. It's because Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs are beginning to play well. And Christian Watson in particular is a big playmaker. We saw before he went out in injury, he was beginning to have his way on the perimeter. And the other thing that we're seeing, Aaron Rodgers is beginning to develop the trust with his young guys. They're getting the ball early and often. They're getting the ball in key situations. They're coming through in those situations. And so, yeah, the homegrown strategy that has worked for the Packers for two decades, it appears that it's still working. Watson and Doubs are beginning to kind of make these plays. And as they grow and as they begin to kind of make their mark as catch and run specialists, they're beginning to kind of minimize some of the deficiencies and flaws that we see from the quarterback. So as the Packers are rolling, maybe into the postseason, the young quarterbacks and the young wideouts are right where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there.
Look at that, huh? Just like we all thought it would be after not drafting another first round wide receiver this year. But they get a couple of high profile ones there with Christian Watson, who was basically a first rounder, like two picks later. But yeah, Watson, Doubs certainly giving Aaron Rodgers some viable targets here down the stretch as they continue to try to make a playoff push here. It is not out of the question that they could find their way into one of those wild card spots. But here's the thing for the Dolphins, who are also still in the playoff mix, trying to push their way into one of those wild card spots. But it's not going to happen if your quarterback throws an interception on each and every one of your possessions in the fourth quarter, which is what Tua Tagovailoa did in this game. Went back and looked at those three. Start with the first one. Look, just looking for Tyreek on a dig route. Look, there's five guys in coverage there, but look, sometimes, you know, in this league, you got to fit that ball in there and he just sails it. Like, that's got to be a ball on a rope with some RPMs behind it. And it just didn't have it. So floated on him, picked off. Next one was a one step throw out of the gun. He's looking for Mostert in the down the seam in the slot. And it's like, you just never manipulated the linebacker Devondre Campbell's eyes at all. He, in fact, led him right to the pass. Now, it did look like there was a bit of a miscommunication there, like he was expecting Mostert to kind of turn his head and look for that ball really quickly. Mostert never did, and that ball went right into the hands of the Packers linebacker. And then at the end, it's really hard to tell what's happening on the pick other than just being a really off throw. It's either overthrown to Tyreek Hill or well underthrown to Mike Gesicki. And look, when you can't figure it out, it makes you wonder, what was he thinking here at this point? But that's under 2 minutes to play at that time. You know, you're in desperation mode as you're trying to go down there and try to find your way back into the ball game with the Packers leading at that point. And it just, they got to be able to count on Tua in those types of situations, right? I think we've all seen some progress here from Tua Tagovailoa under the direction of Mike McDaniel. But when you need your quarterback at your best, like, he's got to be an assassin in that final 15 minutes. Can't be throwing those kind of balls and those kind of turnovers. Otherwise, this is a Dolphins team. While they have some promise, that's going to be left home when the postseason comes around here, Buck.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the big thing is when Tua Tagovailoa was able to dial it up on RPOs and those things that were on time, man, he was able to get the ball out of his hands. But then when the game got tight and the pressure picked up, not necessarily the pass rush pressure, but the pressure of the moment, he crumbled a bit down the stretch. And to have three straight interceptions to close out the game, yeah, that's a huge problem, because now you got to worry about, what is his confidence going to be like the next time they get into those critical moments? Is he going to fire without fear, or is he going to pause and become a check down specialist? The minutes, the Miami Dolphins are at their best when they're able to push the ball down the field. And it was funny, because for so long during the game, I'm like, man, the Green Bay Packers are just sitting back and letting him throw the ball on time and do all these other things. When we've seen the teams that have been at their best slowing down this offense, knocking Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle around so they couldn't be factors on the deep ball. But now with, I think, three, four straight losses, the Miami Dolphins are in a free fall, and a lot of it falls on the feet of the quarterback. Can Tua Tagovailoa fix it? Because the next couple games, and maybe in the postseason, everyone is going to make number one beat them. And I don't know if he's good enough to beat them right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Dolphins, based on the state of the AFC as it stands right now, are currently the seventh seed in that final wild card spot. But with games against the New England Patriots and against the New York Jets, all teams vying for those final that final playoff spot, this is a absolutely crucial stretch for their quarterback, not only for this season, but ultimately in his development as the face of that franchise. Let's move to another game here, and let's go to the San Francisco 49ers hosting the Washington Commanders here. Two teams that have been decimated by injury and inefficiency at the quarterback position going at it. Obviously, San Francisco 49ers with the loss of Trey Lance early and then Jimmy Garoppolo late have turned the reins over to Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy keeps delivering. While it may not be the most prolific passing performances that we've ever seen in the NFL, he knows how to win for this team. And the 49ers know their formula to win, as I've said before on this podcast, far better than I feel like almost any team in football right now. Get the quarterback out on the move. Don't let him be a sitting duck back there in the pocket. Put him in the best possible position to succeed. Accentuate his skill set and let him get the ball in the hands of your playmakers like George Kittle, who goes off once again in this game. I am consistently more impressed with the way that Brock Purdy commands this offense, the way that he understands what Kyle Shanahan wants him to do, the way that he can hand it off in the framework of that offense, and the way that they just kind of keep continuing to just plug on without, you know, both of their first two quarterbacks of the season. So I'm impressed with Brock Purdy. I'm impressed with the way that Kyle Shanahan and the coaching staff continues to run that offense. And obviously, defensively, they're a force to be reckoned with. Clearly, they've forced a quarterback change in this game, Bucky. But to me, I mean, Brock Purdy was the best quarterback on that field.
Yeah, Rhett, it's so funny how they find the right piece to kind of do it. And I've said this, Kyle Shanahan is playing a video game. He just needs the quarterback to be the joystick. He doesn't need the most talented guy. He just needs the guy that understands exactly where the ball is supposed to go and to get the ball out of his hands. And that is where Brock Purdy has done it. Like, what he's doing isn't anything remarkable, but it's steady and consistent. Yeah. And I think for Shanahan, he just wants consistency because he can build around it. That offense is terrific because they also have so many weapons that you can't be right. You take away Christian McCaffrey like the Commanders did, it doesn't matter. Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Ray McCloud, somebody else stands up and makes plays. But really, the secret sauce to their winning is the defense. The defense is rock solid each and every week. Nick Bosa is the defensive player of the year. He dominates the game off the edges. They got a bunch of other dogs that make a bunch of plays, whether it's Fred Warner or some of the other guys on the front seven. They just find a way to get it done. And so when you have this combination that they have, strong running game, dominant defense, complementary big play passing game, there are a lot of wins that are going to come. And so right now, maybe the most dangerous team in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers. 8 straight wins, rounding into form as a dominant team. A lot of that is due to the defense, but also what you talked about, Brock Purdy, and what they're doing on offense as well.
Bang, bang. Niner gang is rolling out in the Bay. No question about it. Meanwhile, the Washington Commanders, perhaps the clock striking midnight on the Taylor Heinicke story, just kind of clear that formula, not being able to push the ball down the field, generate big plays, not working right now. He was replaced by Carson Wentz. So now leaving some question as to what Ron Rivera will do in the short term and what that franchise will do in the long term at QB. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on Move the Sticks. And when we come back, to touch on a pair of upsets, Texans get by the Titans, which your Jaguars certainly loved, Bucky, and the Panthers getting by the red hot Detroit Lions. All that more next year on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't Nick.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks back here with you on this Monday edition of Move the Sticks. Texans, who have been playing very well the last couple of weeks, took the Cowboys and the Chiefs down to the wire, but couldn't come up with the dub. This time due against the Tennessee Titans, getting the win 19-14, five straight losses for the Tennessee Titans. And here's the interesting part of this, because the battle at the line, I felt like for the most part, the run game was won by the Tennessee Titans because they got another 123 yards out of Derrick Henry in this game, who has dominated the Houston Texans in recent games against them. But I think it's just another example of why this formula for Tennessee just isn't working anymore. They don't have what it takes to complement Henry on the perimeter. They had the rookie quarterback, you know, doing, you know, his level best in this game, subbing in for the injured Ryan Tannehill, but it's just not enough. They don't have enough, and this formula is not enough for the Tennessee Titans to kind of stop the bleeding here and get themselves back into the postseason. This division, which is now led by the Jacksonville Jaguars, Bucky, is theirs to win after this game. That's just the way it is right now.
Yeah, no, it's tough on the Tennessee Titans just because Malik Willis isn't ready. Everyone who evaluated Malik Willis knew that he's a year or two away from being a star quarterback, and now he's thrust into a situation where he has to make plays and plays in the passing game. So unless offensive coordinator Todd Downing can do something over the next week or two where they can make Malik Willis a bigger threat, either using some of those RPOs or using some of the option concepts that we're seeing other mobile quarterbacks utilize to really take advantage of their running skills, it's going to be hard for the Tennessee Titans to generate enough points to win. But let's talk about the Texans and how they've improved over the last few weeks under Lovie Smith and this crew. The one thing that I will say in watching the Texans throughout the season, they play hard. It's not always playing well, but they certainly play hard. When they're beginning to play well together, forcing turnovers, Lovie's diversified his defensive scheme a little bit. They're getting the kind of production on defense that you want to see. And then this cast of misfits on offense are making plays. I saw Amari Rodgers make some plays. I've seen the tight end make some plays. I've seen these team kind of come together using a platoon system at quarterback. Jeff Driscoll, Davis Mills coming in and out the game. Looks like a little high school game sometimes on Friday nights, but it's been effective for them. And it's one of the reasons they were able to chalk up a win against a Tennessee Titans team that appears to be sliding out of the postseason.
Yeah, look, and I agree with you with your thoughts on Malik Willis for Tennessee, but it's not just on him. Like, Ryan Tannehill wasn't succeeding in the current framework and formula of this offense when, you know, by just by just having Derrick Henry available to create yards and explosive plays for your offense. It's not enough. It just simply isn't anymore. And they got to figure out another path forward here, but it probably will be one that is going to be forged in the offseason for Tennessee as they are sliding right out of the postseason. How about your Jacksonville Jaguars, Bucky, going from the 9 seed to the 4 seed in the framework of like 4 or 5 days here in week 16. And baby, you're going to be talking about a playoff team here in just a little bit with the way Jacksonville has been playing. Let's move though to another team with designs, two teams really with designs on making the playoffs, the Lions and the Panthers. Lions visiting Charlotte, which is the coldest game in Carolina Panthers franchise history. And it felt extra cold for Detroit, who lost this game 37-23. I think they gave up 200 yards rushing in like the first 5 minutes of the game. It was incredible how Carolina out-toughed, out-physical, outran the Detroit Lions. And ultimately, Bucky ran away with this game.
Yeah, it was amazing to watch. And I'm going to give credit to Steve Wilks in terms of making sure that he put an identity in place for this team. This team is a physical football team since he's taken over. Everyone knows exactly who the Panthers are when they walk in the building. They're going to run the football. They're going to throw it deep, and they're going to play great defense. And that's what they were able to do against the Detroit Lions. And from an offensive identity standpoint, running the football has not only given this team a level of toughness and physicality that you want to show off, their offensive line dominated at the point of attack. But now I'm seeing Sam Darnold play pretty well behind it because they're asking him to do things in a very limited role, meaning they're not asking him to throw it 30 times a game. He had 20, 22 throws. He had 250 passing yards, and he's making plays. And so if the Panthers keep this up, man, I think David Tepper is going to be forced to keep Steve Wilks because this team looks completely different than the team we watched at the beginning of the year. And I will say this, they're doing it with lesser parts. Christian McCaffrey's not there. They've gotten rid of other players, but this team is playing better. I think it speaks volumes to what Steve Wilks has done, and I think a lot of that is due to the offensive identity this team has adopted.
It's incredible, an incredible turnaround for Carolina, who amassed 570 yards of total offense, over 300 yards of rushing offense, which I feel like are direct affronts to the philosophy and to the messaging from Dan Campbell over on the other side as the head coach of the Detroit Lions, and that has got to hit hard and strike right at the heart of what the Lions are trying to pride themselves on, no pun intended, there. And now their playoff chances take a hit, while the Panthers, who when they fired Matt Rhule seemed destined for a top three draft pick, now control their own destiny in order to win the NFC South, win their final two, including next week at the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you're talking about the Carolina Panthers as a playoff football team. My goodness. Is that in the cards for the Steelers and Raiders after a Christmas Eve night matchup where we honored the late Franco Harris? We'll dig into it right after this here on Move the Stick.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details.
Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brett Lewis, Bucky Brooks back here with you on Move the Sticks, recapping some of the biggest news of the day. The Denver Broncos firing head coach Nathaniel Hackett after 15 games here following their Week 16 51-14 embarrassment of a loss to the LA Rams on Christmas Day. So Hackett is out and the Broncos search for a new head coach begins immediately. Much more on what that new head coach might look like for Denver coming up on tomorrow's episode of Move the Sticks. For now, though, we get back to the action from Week 16. The Raiders and the Steelers renewing an AFC rivalry on Christmas Eve night. You saw it live here on NFL Network as we honored the life of Franco Harris and celebrated the 50th anniversary of the play that he authored, the greatest play in NFL history, the Immaculate Reception. And while I don't know if any of the catches on that final drive led by Kenny Pickett are worthy of the adjective immaculate, but they were crucial and crucial to the Steelers getting another win, their second in a row here, as they keep kind of flirting with that first losing season in Mike Tomlin's tenure, but they won't let it happen. And I thought Kenny Pickett was excellent on that last drive, a 10 play, 76 yard drive, 2 minutes and 9 seconds off the clock. And they take the 13-10 lead as Pickett to Pickens for 14 gives them 6 and the final margin in that game, Bucky. I think there's still a lot to like about that potential connection and about some of these young players for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, man. Mike Tomlin can coach because, Red, this is a team that was terrible at the beginning of the year, man. They were awful. You know, it was hard to watch. You couldn't figure it out. They were 2-6. They appear to be a rudderless ship. And now they've reeled off 5 wins in their last 7 games. Defensively, they haven't given up over 20 points in 6 of those games. And so they're beginning to come on board because Mike Tomlin has put a lot of it on the experienced defense to kind of carry the water while the young offense kind of makes its strides. And so it's working. On the other side with the Raiders, I am just surprised. We talked about this team. When they made the trade for Davante Adams, there was a lot of celebration. It was a lot of, the Raiders are ready to go to the Super Bowl because offensively, how are you going to stop this offense? You got Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Davante Adams, Hunter Renfro. Look at all these all pros around Derek Carr. This offense will be unstoppable. And then you watch them on Saturday night and they only can get 10 points. I mean, they can't move the football. Josh Jacobs is airing out his frustrations. Davante Adams can't get the ball enough. And you just wonder, where did it go wrong? How can you have so much talent and underperform to the level that the Raiders have? Yeah, everyone can blame the quarterback and Derek Carr could certainly play better. But at some point, man, Josh McDaniels was hired to be an offensive wizard. And what we're seeing is not a lot of wizardry from this offense. They have to get better. They have to get better in a hurry because they're on the outside looking in. They just can't get right. And it's really disappointing to see with so much talent that they have available.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you're talking about a team in the Las Vegas Raiders, currently the 12 seed in the AFC, 5 spots out of a playoff berth, and the Pittsburgh Steelers 1 spot ahead of them right now. Going to be tough for either one of those teams, I feel like, but Pittsburgh putting themselves at least in the conversation to have a better shot at the postseason as we continue that playoff push here over the course of these final 2 weeks of the regular season. But of course, 1 game left to go tonight, and that will feature the Chargers and the Colts on Monday Night Football. We'll talk a bit about that game and much more on the firing of Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach there for the Denver Broncos, what it means moving forward. Thanks so much for being with us here on this edition of Move the Sticks. Check out all of our digital content all over the NFL's YouTube, the NFL app, and everywhere you consume your Move the Sticks content. Thanks again for being with us. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks back with you tomorrow. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back. Plus, no payments for 90 days. And take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.